If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Since we are talking about the topic of jurisprudential status of prayer, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, let me ask you this question. What are the things that make the prayers void, Sheikh Javid?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, there are a number of things that make the prayer void. At least there are 12 invalidating agents. And of course, it will take us some time to discuss all of them. But I would like to be very quick in giving a short account of those invalidating agents.
I appreciate it.
Now, to begin with, if any of the prerequisites of prayers cease to exist while one is offering prayer, of course, if, for example, a person comes to know that the dress with which he has covered himself is usurped one, now this will make his prayer void, or the place where he offers his prayer is a usurped place, then he cannot continue with his prayers because his prayers is void. So this is one of the invalidating agents, mm-hmm. because one of the prerequisites of prayer is violated in this case. Now, the second invalidating agent is, as mentioned in the Risala, is that if a person intentionally or by mistake or uncontrollably commits an act which makes his wuzu or ghusl void, like, for example, when a person urinates or when urine comes out, because sometimes a person deliberately urinates mm-hmm. or urine comes out without him being in control of the urine.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, obviously, he cannot pray. He should, renew his wuzu and repeat the prayer, because the prayer becomes void once the urine comes out. And of course, we have discussed in one of the previous episodes that if a person is incontinent, he is, for example, not able to control his urine, or he's mm-hmm. not able to control his bowel, and or he discharges something impure, or he passes wind every now and then without him being in control of the mm-hmm. his belly, then in that case there are special rules which must be followed by that person who is suffering from a kind of abnormality or a kind of disorder. So such people who are incontinent, of course, as we discussed in one of the previous episodes, should follow specific rules regarding mm-hmm. Regarding incontinence. So that is the second thing.
Yes.
If a person deliberately urinates or, discharges something impure, then his prayer becomes void.
What's the third invalidating agent?
The third one, of course, if a person folds his hand, mm-hmm. Just as, as Sunnis do, like folding his hand is not permissible in Islam according to the Shi'i school of faith.
Yes.
Yeah. It is forbidden, because we believe that it was the second caliph who innovated this practice. It was not practiced by the Prophet of Islam, and no one was folding their hands mm-hmm. in the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, whether those who lived in Mecca and those who lived in Medina, of course, no one. But it was started during the second caliph. Therefore, folding hand is absolutely forbidden. And if a person folds his hand, if he is not in the state of taqiyya, or if he is not practicing quietism or dissimulation or something like that, he cannot fold his hand. And if he folds his hand, of course, his prayer becomes void.
Sometimes people touch each other's hands. Like, for example, your right hand touches the left hand, all right? Mm-hmm. Does that count as a folding hand,
It doesn't, folding is...
Like, for example, if it is itchy and you want to scratch it.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the prayer, because you're scratching your hand mm-hmm. and you are actually in common view seen as someone scratching his hand mm-hmm. and not folding his hand, because you fold your hand out of humility,
Mm-hmm.
Folding hand is a mark of humility and mm-hmm. a mark of reverence.
Yes.
And of course, if you do this, to show that you are being more, more submissive,
yes.
or you're showing more humbleness, more humility, then that is forbidden. Okay. Otherwise, simply touching your hand or scratching your hand does not make your prayer void.
Okay, thank you very much.
This is the third one.
Yes, thank you very much, Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Stay with us.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javed, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our dear guest speaker. We are talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Before the break, Sheikh Javed, you gave us three invalidating agents of the prayer.
Yeah.
What is the fourth one?
The fourth thing which invalidates prayers is to say Amin, Amin. And this is a practice common among Sunni Muslims when they recite, for example, when the Hamd is, Surah Al-Hamd is recited, then all the people standing behind the prayer leader says Amin. Of course, our religious authorities have forbidden saying Amin in the prayer. If a person deliberately and consciously says Amin after Surah Al-Hamd, now his prayer becomes void. Mm-hmm. Of course, this rule, when applied to one praying individually, is based on ihtiyat. You know, the religious authority has said that if a person offering prayer says Amen, then as a measure of precaution, his prayer becomes void.
Mm-hmm.
As a measure of precaution. And the religious authorities are unanimous about this word being forbidden in the prayer. So no one from the religious authorities have ever said that you can still say Amen when you are offering individual prayer or when you are offering your prayers in a congregation. So that's forbidden.
Okay.
The fifth thing which invalidates prayers is to turn away from Qibla. You know, you are supposed to be facing and to be standing towards the Qibla, and you cannot deviate from the Qibla deliberately, intentionally. And of course, but okay, if you forgetfully stand, in a direction which is not facing Qibla,
mm-hmm.
you are partially deviate from the Qibla, but you are not doing it deliberately, there's no problem. But deviation from the Qibla, according to all religious authorities, it makes the prayer void, and one should not do it deliberately or intentionally. Now, there is the sixth invalidating agent which invalidates prayer, of course, and that is to talk, even by uttering a single word consisting of one or single letter which has a meaning, and of course, and which denotes something.
Mm-hmm.
So talking makes the prayer void. One, you cannot talk. But obviously you are praying, you are talking to Allah, but you cannot, while talking to Allah, you cannot talk to someone else, or you cannot utter a word. So if you, for example, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, if you say, for example, Qe, which was one letter, and of course, in Arabic, the word Qe means to protect yourself. Protect it. It's one letter, but it means protect yourself. It's a kind of talking to someone. So this will make your prayer void.
But what about pointing to something without uttering any words?
There is no problem if you want to point to someone. You know, it has been reported that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, while praying, killed a snake.
Wow.
So it means that, pointing is not a big deal. You know, you can do it. To make someone understand.
Because we have body language, you know.
Body language,
and
of course.
If you point to someone, for example, referring to do something in the room, that would be like, again, talking to that person and conveying a message without utterance.
Without uttering, of course.
So doesn't it make the prayer void?
It doesn't make it. So, because if you want to make a gesture, For example, telling someone who is sitting in front of you to, for example, turn off the stove or turn off the light or on or do something or close the window, there's no problem as long as you are not moving vigorously and you're not, your body is not shaking vigorously, there's no problem.
Okay.
But while moving your hand or your body, of course, you're not allowed to say or recite any word or any zikr.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for all your nice contribution and answers to questions. So we have talked about six of those 12 invalidating inches, and then we're going to continue that in the upcoming session and episode. Thank you for listening to this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.